KALW.
It's worrying me because how are we going to tell these kindergartners, these first graders, second graders, third graders that they have to wear a mask all day? Don't touch your friends. Don't high five. Don't share anything.
10 weeks after the shelter in place began, the Bay Area's finally beginning to reopen and anxiety levels are high.
My parents texted me pictures of them at a winery and I got so livid. Like, what are you doing? And they're like, it's fine, it's safe. Like, it's no different than going to a grocery store. And I'm like, the grocery store is not safe.
Business owners are also trying to figure out how to exist in this new environment.
At some point, we need to jump in the pool with the best information that you have.
That's coming up. I'm Hena Baba, and this is Cross Currents. Well, it's been more than 10 weeks since Bay Area officials ordered residents to shelter in place. Yes, it has been that long. And while people and policies are beginning to relax just a bit, the pandemic is still touching our lives in very different ways. In this week's installment of Quarantine Diaries, we'll hear from a family questioning their Memorial Day trip down the coast, a potter who gets a positive test, and a mother afraid to send her kid back to school.
It is day 67, and I did see some of the CDC guidelines that they put out in order for schools to open back up. I don't know how they plan on doing all this. How do they plan on doing one teacher, 30 students with 6 feet of distance? Like, it's a lot to think about. My son is 8. He just turned 8 on Monday. There's no way he's going to be able to be with a mask on all day. All day. You're gonna traumatize these kids. And I'm usually pretty chill when it comes to most stuff. Just roll with the punches, we'll figure it out. But it's worrying me because how are we gonna tell these kindergartners, these first graders, second graders, third graders, don't share anything? What's the point? The kids are gonna be so focused on not touching each other and disinfecting and all this other stuff. What are they there for? To learn? Learn what? I just don't see what's the point. Well, I can see the point. The point is because all the working class sends their kids to school and depends on school for us to, in order to work. So right now, what's most important is opening up the economy and just disregard the health of the children, the teachers, everyone. So that's where my mindset is right now, just thinking, okay, should I just homeschool him? I'm already not working. So I might as well just find something when all this opens back up that I can work at night and teach him during the day. But then I also have to think, like, how am I gonna homeschool him and, you know, carry a job and me myself go back to school and keep the house in order and help my parents out? And it's just a lot. It's a lot.
It's day 68. My name is Meredith Mayer. I am co-owner of Six Rivers Brewery and have not enjoyed the quarantine as I've been working for the last 68 days. We are located in McKinleyville, California, in the heart of Humboldt County. Most of our guests, I would bet, are about 80% regulars. They're people in our community. We also see lots of tourists in the high season between May and September and are flooded with people from all over the world, but mainly regionally, the Bay Area and Oregon. So we want to see people come up here and enjoy all we have to offer, but now is, I don't think, the time for us to do that. And I think we just have to be patient. Currently in Humboldt, we're seeing our first surge of positive cases and in a rural community with about 100 actual hospital beds and 22 ICU beds. I think, you know, in general, we're nervous about people coming from out of town and coming here and bringing this virus into our communities. In a town that's normally open arms and we welcome tourists. And in fact, you know, we are constantly working on building a bigger tourism base here. It's confusing for us, but certainly right now we're kind of saying, hey, these trees have been here for hundreds of thousands of years and, you know, they're not going anywhere. Just wait to come see them. We promise we'll be here when the time's right.
It's day 69. I just finished the vast majority of my final exams and my AP exams. The topic of conversation right now from my friends has deviated from coronavirus concerns, and now we're just talking about ways we can still celebrate and be in each other's presence despite this pandemic. So things are starting to look up for us. But at the same time, there have been definitely a lot of complaints from my peers about missed proms, graduations, and also additional worries that we won't be able to begin college on campus next fall. The other day, I was reading an article and they were talking about the senior class, people who are graduating now, like me and my friends. And this one professor, he argued that we should instead be changing the narrative and calling us the class that sacrificed. Because now it seems like everyone's just moping around because it seems like we're the class that lost everything. But I think calling us the class that sacrificed actually sounds so, so much more meaningful. It kind of symbolizes that we are a class that gave up some privileges in order to protect our community and to help our community move forward, which I think is a really beautiful narrative that I hope me and my peers will hold in our hearts.
Hi there, my name is Reese. Today is day, I think, 70 of the quarantine. At the end of the day on Tuesday, I was feeling like a very minor sore throat kind of thing coming on, so which I didn't really think much about, but decided to be extra cautious, and I decided to call my doctor and set up an appointment to get tested for COVID. And that whole day still was going about my day as normal, and at I think about 12:30 that night got the results back, and the results said that coronavirus was detected. I contacted all of my roommates and, you know, let them know to be extra careful in the morning. I basically bleached everything down that night just to be extra careful for them. And since then have been isolated in my room. You know, before this all happened, coronavirus and everything seemed very distant. I mean, I still haven't known one person who's gotten it. But now, obviously, it's really hit home. It seems very real. I mean, in a way, it's kind of interesting to be now finally, like, part of this crazy pandemic that's affecting the entire world. And I've kind of felt this strange sort of power of, you know, the power to kind of to stop at least this one branch. I still have no idea where I even got it. Like I said, I don't know anyone who's gotten it. I mean, the only time I can think is maybe, you know, some jogger ran by or a bicyclist rode by without a mask on, or, you know, I touched something in the grocery store that, you know, happened to have it on it and then touched my face or something. But I really have no idea. And yeah, so far I've been feeling pretty okay, actually. I mean, the only symptom I have really is just this kind of a little bit of a cough and like this, that dry cough. But otherwise, I've been totally fine. I haven't had a fever. Every day, I'm pretty thankful that my immune system is doing its job. Yeah.
My name is Matt Schuster. I'm the chef and owner of Canela Bistro. It is day 70. Today, a trusted resource told me that it's looking like June 15th is going to be our first day where we can open. Now, whether we open on that day or not, our restaurant, you know, I'm not sure. I'm not going to rush to put us into a situation where, you know, we're not comfortable, if the staff's not comfortable. But at some point, we need to, you know, jump in the pool with the best information that you have. So we've been talking about trying to put ourselves in the mindset of the diner and, you know, instead of putting somebody at a table meant for two,
we would put them at a tablement for four, but like sitting on one side, and then we would drop the food on the far side of their table and encourage them to grab the plates and put them in front of themselves, which you know before is like would have been super rude, but now it's kind of like our version of keeping our distance from them and also intrude them from us, you know. With all of this, some people are going to find it weird and some people are going to find it, or some people are going to be appreciative. You know, we were talking about like, you know, giving people like little paper bags to put their masks in when they sit down, you know, because it's like when you sit down under the table, I guess, what do you do with the dirty mask, you know? I got a couple of air purifiers to put in the restaurant. And who knows if that does exactly anything, but you know, I think it puts people at ease that the air is circulating and maybe droplets are getting sucked out of the air, but a lot of it's guesswork. And I mean, nobody wants to make people sick, you know, for sure. But like, you know, nobody wants to, you know, build out their business based on this kind of weird spot that we're in right now. Cause it's going to change.
It's day 71. I'm Lindsay.
And I'm David.
And we're new parents. We just put our daughter to bed. She just turned 8 months about a week ago. So that's crazy to think about.
Almost
crazy.
Half of her life done inside.
Wow.
It's definitely hard because, you know, our daughter's probably going to turn one underneath lockdown. So, you know, we're just kind of wondering when, you know, they're going to be able to play again, like her and her little friends and stuff in the mommy group. So
it really bothers me that things are loosening up because we know that it's not safe. My parents texted me pictures of them at a winery and I got so livid. I'm like, what are you doing? And they're like, it's fine. It's safe. Like, it's no different than going to a grocery store. And I'm like, the grocery store is not safe. I am trying to get my parents to rent an RV so that they can come and park in front of the house and see Mila. And yeah. Then my mom was trying to tell me, she's like, well, if we come with the RV, like, I'm not going to be able to not hold her. And I'm like, well, you're going to have to. I don't.
Well, just wrap your mom in a garbage bag.
Oh, my gosh.
It's day 71.
Day 71.
I am currently quarantined in my room.
My partner Reese just tested positive for COVID a few days ago, and so I can't see him, only through his window on the second floor.
I have a bucket that I'm lowering outside of my window.
And I am about to deliver him some freshly baked cranberry walnut bread.
So I'm gonna go get my bucket now. It's composed of a speaker cable tied to a red, like, metal bucket that I was previously using as a trash can.
So I'm going to get out of the car. I'm double parked right now. I'm going to put on my mask. All right. Hi, Reese.
Hi.
Here goes the bucket.
Bucket's going down.
Okay, the bread is in there.
Right. Thanks. All right, I got my loaf of bread fresh out of the oven, into the bucket, and into my house.
My name is Cynthia Mitrin. I'm from Los Gatos, and I'm a fifth grader at Blossom Elementary. So, on Memorial Day, we went to this park that's usually crowded, and there's only, like, a few people there, like, at least 10 people there.
Yeah, it was really deserted. We waited that long to go out because we weren't sure. We were confused about what we were supposed to do and not supposed to do. You know, I think a lot of people stayed inside. There was a heat wave over the weekend, so we didn't go out during the day. And we would have been fried, like...
beans.
Like eggs.
Beans.
Beans?
Fried beans.
That doesn't make any sense.
You know, like refried beans.
Oh, I see. I have to say I felt conflicted. I didn't want to touch any surfaces. I was even afraid of sitting on a bench.
I mean, you're not really gonna touch your butt, right? So.
Yeah, but what if I touch the bench and then I forget and I touch my face?
Well, there's like... everyone's reminding you, don't touch your face. So, like, I'm pretty sure you wouldn't touch your face even if you touched the bench.
And what if someone who had COVID had climbed the rocks before us?
Well, that's what if, so... I mean, I guess it's pretty much possible. Pretty possible. But, I mean, you can't just be freaked about every single thing you do.
Hi, it's day 73. I'm Reese. Currently, my symptoms have gone down quite a bit, I think. My symptoms have never been super bad, so, you know, it's kind of hard to tell whether it's getting better or worse sometimes. I mean, it's still such a mystery as to what all of it means or whether it could change into something else, and, I mean, the idea always pops in my mind every once in a while that it could turn for the worst and you know, be really scary. If something were to happen, I wouldn't be able to see anybody or, you know, have any contact with anyone. And obviously, I don't want to be on a ventilator or anything. That would be awful. I mean, I have thought about whether I should make a will, you know, or something, which is really is weird feeling. I mean, it's not like I have a lot, but, you know, I'm like, who would want all my records? Would anybody want them? Is that just garbage? I don't know. Another thing I've thought about is, yeah, whether I would want to be on a ventilator and whether I should tell people that. I guess it's just, I haven't looked into it enough. I think I was going to maybe do some more research into whether that is, you know, worth doing or not. When I think about all these kind of terrible possibilities that could happen or all the outcome of it, I mean, I still try and keep grounded in reality and remember that I'm still feeling good now and also now kind of realizing how far I've already come through this since my first symptoms. I mean, it's been almost 8 days. So that makes me feel a little more hopeful since, like, the normal recovery time is about 10 days. It's definitely made me a little more aware of the things that I appreciate and just reminded me to take care of myself, you know, mentally and, you know, even just remembering to, like, water my plants and things like that that I normally forget about because I'm running around all the time doing so much. It's been good to take things slow and you know, not always be rushing around and distracting yourself, but just try and really focus on the moment and, you know, remember that you're okay in the moment.
That was the original KELW production, Day by Day, The Quarantine Diaries. And those are the voices of Lindsay and Dave Sherbarth, Hannah Nee, Stephanie Saravia, Reese Kolar, Sophia Mitra, Sarah Lai Sterland, Matt Schuster, and Meredith Mayer. The series is produced by Gabe Graben, edited by Angela Johnston and David Boyer. Special thanks to Christopher A. Gusa, Joshua Sorotiak, Holly J. McDeed, and Lee Romney for contributing to that story. And you can subscribe to Day by Day wherever you get your podcasts and hear every episode in the series. Tune in Monday at 5. A funeral director shares what it's like to conduct a service over Zoom and how the pandemic is making it easier for some loved ones to say goodbye.
There's people all over from Florida, New York, and people were like saying the rosary. I was like, wow, this is beautiful.
Mourning while social distancing, Monday at 5 on Cross Currents. Now we've got some new music from a local band. This is Sealand from San Jose, and the song is from their latest record, Eternity. You can check out their music. We've got a link at klw.org. Today's Cross Currents team includes Janae Darden, Julia Linus Goodman, True Gwynn, Marissa Ortega Welch, and Victor Tense. Our engineers are James Rollins, Tariq Foda, and Gabe Graben. Content manager is Shirin Adil. Our managing editor is David Boyer. Deputy news director is Angela Johnston. News director is Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet, as interpreted by Daoud Anthony. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.